This is the April 1st, 2020 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves property 986-036-366 for Appeal 679. Board members present by teleconference are Lisa Bodner, John Marks, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There's no one on the call from the assessor's office, but we do have Gail Guthrie on the line for the appellant. Gail, if you would raise your right hand to be sworn in.
Sure.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Correct, yes.
Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2019. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you get a written response from the outcome. You have 30 days from that point. The assessor has that 30 days to complete this time. It's a word of caution in these current times. Maybe a little late on that 30 days to get out. 30 days. So, unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Okay. Well, first of all, I just hope I'm not wasting anybody's time, because I actually called when I got my new assessment, and I was told by somebody at the board of at the assessor's office first to call the Board of Equalization and to appeal the land value of the property. And as I went further on my instructions, I did do that. I did send in the information. I did it over, I scanned it and sent it. My only point is we live on a very, well, I thought we were living on a very quiet road. It is not a very quiet road. It is Northeast Allworth and 214th Court. We're right on the corner there. And between Site Works, who lives down and around the corner, and their tractor trailers traveling up and down the street constantly and speeding, and the Cascade School District buses that go up and down Allworth and speeding. Anyway, I was explaining all of this, and that they told me that I should appeal. So I'm appealing because that's what I was instructed to do. I realized that we bought the property, and we bought it on Allworth Road. And I'm not complaining because we bought the property on Allworth Road. I'm complaining because when we first moved here, we were in the house maybe a day. And I don't know who comes out. I think it's somebody from the assessor's office, and they talk to you and measure, and I guess they double check everything. This was right after we moved in. And she said at the time she was notating the noise of Allworth Road into our file. But now I don't know that it ever got in there. So it's kind of I kind of feel like I'm on a hamster on a wheel going round and round. And then if you go back to properties sold on Allworth Road, they're much bigger parcels. They're 5-acre parcels generally. They're smaller homes. They're older homes. They're not a new home. But the parcel is big. The house, I don't know how you guys compare. I know it's in a big block of to do your assessing and all that. Anyway, if you go back and look at the closed sales in the area, we were way, like, you know, higher tax assessed on all this property. So that's my case. I did try to send a map and some closures, but it never got there because our internet was all poopy here, and it got there, but it was the day after. So I don't believe you have it in front of you.
Okay, you have 1.33 acres, is that correct?
That is correct.
And you're comparing that to other properties in your neighborhood?
Well, you know, I know you can't do that around here because it's kind of rural and everybody's different. But if you have no choice but to kind of go off somewhat similar homes in the area for comparables. So I just went to the closed homes, and there were two on Allworth that sold, let me see, one sold November 25th, and it's 2,159 square feet, and it's on 5.23 acres. It's a three-bedroom, three-bath. We have a three-bedroom, two-bath, and it sold for $535, I think. No, that one's wrong. I lied. I'm giving you the wrong information. It was sold on in November, and it sold for $539. It was 20506 Northeast Allworth Road. It was a four-bedroom, two-bath, and it's on 5 acres. That's just right up the street.
How big was the property itself?
It's 5 acres. The property that 20506.
The value of your property. I'm looking at the house. I'll say it's directly in front of you, but it's, I don't know south of where it is, and it's 1.5 acres. It's a little bit larger than yours. It sold in 2017, a little older than you could look at. And the property, the 1.5 acres, is valued just a little bit higher than yours.
Yeah, that's our neighbors across the street you're talking about?
Yes.
Yeah, I realize it sold for more. It was built by the same people, Garrett, but it's a bigger house.
Yeah. No, I understand that. I'm just looking at the land right now, because that's all you...
Sure. I did. Because that's what I was told to do, and I thought, well, I guess whoever I spoke to knew what they were talking about. You know, you kind of fly by the seat of your pants around here.
Yeah, I know. I understand.
What's the square footage of your house?
Oh, shoot. 26... I think it's just over 2,600 square feet. It's a three-bedroom, two-bath. I guess I should have pulled that up. Sorry.
Here's the problem. Situations like that, whether you're by the railroad tracks or you got truck traffic or you got bus traffic or whatever, those are very hard to evaluate. And I guess the only thing we can do is if it's way different than when you bought the property, and you'd have to demonstrate to us, by, I guess, recordings and showing pictures of the traffic and explaining the increase in traffic. And like I said, it's extremely hard to make a valuation case for or against those kinds of things.
I have called the school district several times because I'm afraid of the children that are catching the bus, and they speed, and we're on the curvy kind of part of Allworth, and I have called SiteWorks several times to complain about their tractor trailers speeding up and down the road. I do a lot of walking, and I don't walk on Allworth because it's not safe. I walk across the street, but I mean, I guess I could do that. I was, like I said, I'm just doing what I told and was, referred to do. So that's why I'm doing it.
No, I'm not criticizing that one iota. I'm just saying that it's difficult to prove some of that kind of evidence. The other thing I might suggest you do, call the people, and I'm not even sure what that department is, but it's control traffic.
I did call them. Yes, I did. I've talked to them twice.
Continue to demonstrate to them that there is a hazard there, and they can change the speed zone in there. That's about all they can do. I don't think they'll put speed bumps in, but one never knows. I don't think on a through road like that they would put speed bumps.
I don't think they will either. It's a pretty well-traveled road.
Right.
I did talk to them.
But you're just going to have to continue to hammer on them.
Yeah, well, I found it a little unsettling when the value went up you know, $64,698 in 1 year. When comparables kind of ish around here, I guess they're kind of haphazard, like I said. You know, you can't hardly compare because it's so rural out here. But, and they're hard to find, but that was quite a significant jump for us. So that was distressing as well. So that's why I pursued this, so I won't take up any more of your time.
You need to bring in, if you want to do an appeal on higher property value, you have to bring a comparable property and get the best comparison you can and explain that in your appeal, why it compares to your property and why value property lower sale.
Yeah. I probably would have done that in the beginning, but whoever I spoke to said, oh, just do the land. I thought, okay, well, they must, whoever I, and I apologize again, I did not write her name down, but I just followed suit, and I did what I, you know, she told me I recommended that I do, so that's what I did. I was just hoping, you know.
We have your information.
Yeah. as haphazard as it is, I guess you do.
Well, the main thing is you have to put as much evidence as you can in and send to us.
Sure.
To be able to make adjustment on your property.
Sure. Sure. That's kind of hard to do, but I guess I didn't do.
Keep trying.
Keep trying. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
You guys stay safe.
Bye. Bye. Bye-bye.
This is a continuation of the April 1st, 2020 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves property 3791417. It's appeal number 681. The board members present by teleconference are Lisa Bodner, John Marks, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There's no one on the call from the assessor's office, but we do have Gregory Bosaz on the line for the appellant. Gregory, if you would please raise your right hand to be sworn in.
Yes.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth and a penalty for perjury?
Yes.
You?
I do.
You know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2019. Keep in mind the assessor has a presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you get a written response from the board as the outcome. You have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. Just a word of caution that we may be longer than 30 days as a result of the current circumstances, but you'll still have 30 days from the time if your report was to appeal.
You're breaking up a lot, Dan.
Army?
Yeah.
You're breaking up a lot.
Really? Okay, is that better?
That's better, yes. Better.
Okay. Before I turn it over to you, I just noticed you purchased the property in 2019.
Correct.
For $396, is that correct?
Correct.
And you had an appraisal as of 2/1/19 for $415,000?
Correct.
Okay, I mean, those are the best two pieces of evidence you could possibly have, and I read what the assessor wrote in there, and, you know, they're way off base on this. Unless you have other things to add to that, like I said, those are the two best pieces of evidence you could possibly have.
Yeah, I mean, the only other, to reinforce that, I mean, the house I did purchase on purpose, I like the house, but it is a property that is somewhat distressed. It's livable, but there's a lot of updating that needs done. There's actually quite a bit of structural repairs that I need to do. that even the home inspectors didn't pick up on, but I did just because I'm in the industry. It's going to take me quite a ways to get to the value that that they're putting out there. And I don't even think the house is valued, would be valued at the 2018 valuation at this point. But, I have a better chance of improving the home over time if I had a more reasonable assessment of the valuation of the home for tax purposes.
Okay. I'm okay with that. Any questions from Lisa and John?
No, no questions.
No, I don't have any questions on it. I'm good to help you back for the information.
Okay. Thank you, sir, for participating in this conference call.
I appreciate your help, folks, and I hope you all have a great day and stay well.
Yeah, you too.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.
Close the hearing.
This is a continuation of the April 1st, 2020 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves property 718-97010 for appeal 682. Board members present by teleconference are Lisa Bodner, John Marks, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one on the call from the assessor's office, but we do have Tony and Jim Britton on the call for the appellant. Tony and Jim, if you would please raise your right hands to be sworn in.
Okay. Do you swear or affirm the testimony you've given this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office, and we're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2019. Keep in mind the assessor has the presumption of correctness to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from the court as the outcome. You have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. And just to let you know, in the current circumstances, we may be a little later than 30 days, but you'll still have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. Unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Okay, thank you. Good morning. This is Tony. I thought I would just start off by, one, saying thank you for taking the time to hear our reasoning on as to why we believe our land should be assessed lower. We understand that the assessor did make an adjustment for things such as road noise and things from Highway 14 because our property is right alongside Highway 14. However, as Jim's going to explain, we do believe that a significant adjustment should be also made for the unique characteristics of developing our property. Jim, go ahead.
Okay. So this lot was developed in 1985 with fill, and when they did the lot, it was basically put the elevation at 35.1, which is under the floodplain for the Columbia River. So because of the fill, there's some unique characteristics with the lot to be able to even make it a buildable lot. And I built three homes and, you know, on standard type building lots. One of the costs associated with this is we have to excavate the lot down to roughly 33 feet in order to be able to put pilings and tiebacks in that are required. The excavation cost is, I mean, these are some of the costs associated with just developing the piece of property to put a home on. So, like, the excavation cost is going to be a cost of $22,000. For our pilings and tiebacks, just to be able to make a buildable lot, we have to put in about $130,000, 38 pilings and 6 tiebacks. Along with that, when they're putting those in, we have to spend $1,000 a day just for an engineer to stand there to watch the pilings going to the ground until they hit refusion. So once that's done, then in order to put in the foundation, we have to put a 3x3 foot grid beam, which a standard footing for a house is roughly 6 inches by 18 inches. But we have to put a 3x3 foot grid beam with extensive rebar in throughout the whole foundation plan. But in order to meet FEMA requirements, Then we have to put a stem wall in that it extends up to 36.1 feet just to be able to meet the FEMA requirements to build on the lot. So I know there's many lots that were compared, and I looked down A Street and saw those, the lot values. But all those lot values basically are based on lots that are above the floodplain level and didn't require or do require these, except for the lot next to us, which is our sister-in-law's lot, which they are going to be having to go through the exact same thing. But because of all these infrastructure improvements that we need to make to the lot to make it a buildable, we just believe that the value of the lot shouldn't be as high as the assessed value is. So
The other thing I want to mention, and that's something that we included in our letter to you, is that we also have the easement alongside our property, which reduces the value or the use of our lot, or I should say use of our lot, by roughly 4,600 square feet. And anyway, so we think that should be a consideration as well. Jim, was there anything else?
No, I'd be happy to answer any questions for you, though.
My question, those comparables that you put on the form on A Street, are any of those waterfront properties like yours?
The comparables.
So basically all the lots that are on A Street there are, all those lots border the Columbia River.
Yeah,
okay.
Because on A Street right now, they just go.
Oh, pardon me?
You provided us with this engineering and cost bid thing of $133,000 to do part of that you need to make it buildable. What estimate is your total cost to make the lot buildable?
Well, we haven't got a quote for a foundation yet. My sister is currently getting quotes because she's for her appeal. Her estimates have been, she told me just yesterday, 16 times that amount of a traditional foundation because of the 3x3 foot. Grid beam with the rebar that's going to be needed. So we don't have that yet, unfortunately. We could be getting quotes for that. We're trying to get through the excavation that's required and the pilings and tiebacks, and then our hope is to then start getting the foundation.
Okay.
So we don't have it.
How many times?
Well, this is my sister. She's an engineer. She told me yesterday it was 16 times the amount. You know, I don't have the amount. She just told me that, and she's pretty stressed out about it, to be honest. But yeah, because like Jim said, you know, the traditional foundation is what, 6x18?
Yeah, the footing for a traditional footing is basically 6 inches deep by 18 inches wide. It usually has number 4 rebar that runs through that footing. Ours is a 3x3 foot basically grid beam or footing concrete that has 3 layers of rebar, and they have anywhere from rebar number 5 to number 6, and there's 3 rows of those that run parallel or tie into the pilings that are going to be installed. And then we have a stem wall.
16 times normal, right? Not 16 times what you've got a bid for.
No, I'm sorry. No, she was, because we don't have the cost of the foundation, and so she was trying to get that before, because her appeal is later on this month, I think. I can't remember what day hers is. I think it's later on in the month. But so she was like, called me yesterday and was panicking. She goes, you know that this is, the estimate is like 16 times that. And, you know, it's just
I have to admit, when we purchased the property, we weren't anticipating these costs. It's been a little stressful because we didn't realize there were so many unique characteristics that would require the additional cost just to make it buildable.
Yep.
Hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
I think I'm understanding it to a point.
Yeah, I don't have any questions.
No, I think okay. We have the picture.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thanks for being part of this conference.
Okay, thank you. Stay safe.
Okay.
All right, bye.
This is a continuation of the April 1st, 2020 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves property 180611000 and its case number 684. The folks on the line for us are board members Lisa Bodner, John Marks, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There's no one on the call from the assessor's office, and we also do not have anyone on the call from the appellant.
Okay, any questions? Since we have nobody available, we'll make a decision based on the information available. So, no questions, close the hearing.
This is a continuation of the April 1st, 2020 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves properties 104585004, 104585008, and 227009000 for appeals 686, 687, and 688. Board members present today by teleconference are Lisa Bodner, John Marks, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There's no one on the call from the assessor's office, but we do have Paul Polena on the phone for the appellant. Paul, if you would please raise your right hand to be sworn in.
You have your right hand up?
Yeah.
Hello? Okay.
Yes?
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury? Hello?
I'm not sure what's going on. I can hear you, but barely.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes.
Okay. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your properties as of January 1st, 2019. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as to the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. Unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal. Starting with property 104585004. Okay. Okay. Go ahead and talk. Two
John, at least, are you still there?
Yeah.
I'm here.
I'm not hearing anything from him.
Okay, I would appreciate if somebody could explain me the rules of this proceeding.
Say again, we can barely understand you.
Well, I can barely hear you as well. I'm not sure what's going on. That means my question is, what are the rules of the proceeding? You mentioned the property, okay? Do you want to hear my position, or what do you expect me to do?
Yes, I want you to tell us, further explain the appeal that you filed. Just tell us whatever you want to about those two smaller properties.
Okay. In the property that you stated now, the value that your assessor quoted is $268,342. My issues with that is basically comparing to the previous values. The land value almost doubled. Basically, that was increased by 80-90%. From my knowledge and information I gathered from my real estate agent and from the real estate website, the value of the property went up, but it did not go so significantly up. That means my question is, why the value jumped up so significantly from your evaluation?
The total value only went up by 10%. You're looking at the land actually went up and the structure went down from the prior year. And you know, I can't answer why they reallocated the difference from land to buildings, but the property itself in total only went up 10%.
It's normal that the value of property is going down because of depreciation. But what I am puzzled is the value of the land to go to double, that's not normal. That means I have basically the questions, my understanding was there are certain limitations how much you can increase the value per year. I do not believe that it's fair to increase the value by 80-90% or double it without providing good explanation for that.
We don't have the explanation that it's the assessor to do that. We have to look at the evidence provided to us as to why it should be of a lesser value. Again, the assessor has the presumption of correctness until you can prove him otherwise. And we have no evidence from you that shows that. And the allocation between land and value, land and improvements, makes little difference to us. We are charged with looking at the total value of the property itself. And what are the allocation between land and improvements is up to the assessor.
Okay, I can understand what you told me, but I do not consider it fair.
Duplexes, or what are these?
Sorry? Yeah, they are duplexes, yes.
Duplex, okay.
I did not find, and I looked through all the real estate websites for the value of the property and increased the value in the last 2 years. This is not a San Francisco. That means to double the value of the land is unbelievable. Then what I have a problem with, that's to understand why, where is it Vancouver area, the land in the Vancouver area doubled in 1 year. I don't know how to prove it outside of just stating that I did not find any information that would validate it, even for the information regarding the value of the property. Information that I found was that property in Vancouver area generally increased by about 5.1%, the value of the total property. That means I assume that I will get some answers to my question, but, you know, I have no specific way to challenge it outside of this information that I just told you.
Like I said, we have no way of challenging the allocation between land and improvement. We only look at the total value of the property, and that is the $258,392, and the allocation between land and building is based on the assessor's calculations of the land values, and they develop a land table that they put land values accordingly. That you would have to take up with the assessor as to why it changed, but the land went up and the improvements went down, and net you increased by 10%. Now maybe that's not as the proper number. Maybe it increased too much in total value, but we have nothing that you provided us to demonstrate that that's true.
Okay, I have a simple question. Are there any limitations how much your assessor can increase the value, or he can just double it every year, or are there any limitations?
There is only a limitation on the amount of tax that the county can levy, and that's in total tax, not in the land value. Land values can change up or down, and that is only a calculation. The land values divided into the budget gives you a tax rate, and that rate and total taxes can only go up by, I believe it's 1% a year.
Okay, other question.
In total for the whole county.
Okay. How do you want me to prove that there is no way that the value of the land could double in 1 year? What kind of proof do you want me to provide?
You have to provide comparable sales for that. And, you know, it's too late to do that this year. You have to do it for next year. And you have to look up comparable sales of similar properties. Are there other duplexes like yours in the neighborhood?
Yes, they are. But I understand what you are telling me, but still it does not answer the question what I have the issue with, basically doubling the value every year. Without, you said that it's up to me to provide the reason. That means your assessor can do whatever he or she wants, and they do not need to provide explanation for that.
They have a system at the assessor's office of assessing properties, and that system produces a number that values your property. And their system has been proven by the state. And if you believe that's an incorrect value, you are required, the taxpayer is required to produce evidence to demonstrate to them that it's not true. And that would be that you'd have to provide sales of comparable properties and show that value. Now, the allocation between land and building really is immaterial to you as long as you demonstrate that the total value is incorrect by demonstrating. For instance, if there are a group of duplexes like yours that are in the neighborhood and one or two of them sell during the period, the past year, then that would demonstrate the value that should be assigned to your duplex, and regardless of how it's allocated between land and buildings, it's the total value at the bottom.
Okay. Basically, the meaning that I get is that this is just a trial where your officer has the right to do whatever he or she wants, does nothing to prove that it's right, and basically he can play with numbers to make it up, whatever number he wants. And I have no way to get an answer why he or she is doing that. Even there is no way to document that anywhere in this county the land value doubled. I can have it in the paper in front of me, and I have to accept it as a fact.
Yeah, no, as I told you in the beginning, the assessor has the presumption of correctness under state law, and you have to prove that it's incorrect.
I understand again the word, but I can tell you, as you probably already know, that it's not fair to what people living in this country. Because there should be certain limitation. It's not that your assessor can just double the value every year when he wants. There should be certain limitation comparable with the market situation. In the market, if the land in this county did not double in the value, why he's putting on the paper to justify the number that he's coming to? That what bothers me, because this does not make sense. And I have to prove something that doesn't make sense without having specific information why he or she is doing it, by using state-approved program that still doesn't justify the fact that actually the value of the land did not increase as much as it's on the paper that I have in front of me.
Well,
and I understand you cannot do anything about that. But
I understand that if you're talking about just the land, but the problem is you have to look at the total value at the bottom. Forget about whether it's land or improvement. It's the total value of the property. And they make an allocation, a reasonable allocation of land and improvement, but the total value is what you have to look at. And you are required to prove the assessor's wrong. You don't have to support what they did. You just have to prove that they're wrong. And that is by providing comparable properties like yours and what they sold for in the marketplace. I don't think there's anything else we can do with these two properties. Let's go on to your other property. And I assume that's your home?
That's correct.
Okay, and I look at those the comparable properties that you had on there. The first one appears to be a house similar to yours and across the street from you, is that correct?
That's correct. Directly in the neighborhood, it's not across the street, it could be farther.
And that one backs up to the river, doesn't it?
Yeah, it has a river view, a river property, yes. I mean, the value of the house is much, much higher than my value, considering the buildings, because it has a huge shop, secondary huge buildings. It has a garden-style property that is maintained by gardener. It has 600 feet of river. And you can see the sale price that was done at the time. As in mine, that I have mostly wetland, I am charged much, much higher.
Yeah, John and Lisa, do you have questions on this one?
I don't have any questions.
No, I don't think so. I tried to look these up and make some sense out of them, and they at least appear to bracket in the neighborhoods for sales out there, so I think I'm good with those.
Okay, Okay, anything else you want to tell us about this property?
Only if you have any questions. Because for this one, I was lucky that I was able to find out the sale just right in my neighborhood, because otherwise we would be running into the same problem, the other problem.
Yeah. Okay, I think we have the picture. Okay?
Okay, if I can ask one more question.
Sure.
Regarding any of the estimates that your SFA is doing, I live in other states, and when I talk with other people there, I was told that there are certain limitations depending on the county, like that the value can be increased by 15 or 20% per year, not higher than that. Are there any of these limitations in this county?
Not on the value of your property, no. You know, property changes based on the marketplace. I mean, the law says that your property is supposed to be valued at the fair market value at the date of the valuation. And the fair market value is generally determined by comparable sales of other properties in and around the neighborhood with the same characteristics.
Okay.
Your property values, I mean, certain houses may become more valuable one year than the next year based on, you know, the price range, the location, all kinds of different factors change it. And one area of the county may go up by 20%, another area may go down by 2% based on those wants and needs of the buying public.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for calling in, and we'll, you'll hear from us within 30 days.
Okay.
Okay.
Have a nice day.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Close the hearing.